Would you kneel with me in prayer, please? Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together here this day to hear thy word, to worship thee, to bring our thoughts in from the world. Help us, Father, to focus on those words and ideas that are presented to us this day. I pray for those meeting in like manner throughout the land. Ask that your blessing would be on each one of them. We pray for the many who stand in need, and we would ask especially that you would be with the elders as they lay their hands upon the head of our dear sister Chandra this morning, and ask that you would bless each one of them. I pray, Father, that you would guide us and direct us throughout each day of our life and help us to make those right decisions, to always be mindful of the needs of our brothers and sisters, and to always consider the requirements that have been put before us, that we walk that straight and narrow path. Help us to always have thy spirit to walk that path. I pray for the missionary efforts of the church, for our brothers and sisters scattered throughout the world that are striving to serve thee. This I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'd like to ask of each of you for your careful and prayerful attention for our brother Hubert.
Thank you, Bill. It's that anchor that I want to talk about today. It's that one that we were studying there in the Sunday school class that heals the sickness and the diseases if the people will listen. And it says, keep his commandments and walk upright before him. And how important these things are, not only to hear, but to do. And to keep the commandments of God. It's important that we realize that he was talking about the physical diseases and those things that stress the children of men, and constantly we see in our email, and we see when we talk and we visit as we come together for our prayer services that so many people need the blessings of God. So many people need the touch of His love to bless them and strengthen them, to heal them. And you know, that's not only the physical. It has to do as well with the spiritual. We need that touch of God in the spirit. We need that touch of God that excites us and excites our heart and our mind to endeavor to go and to live a life and to set an example that would indeed allow us to go and to live with Him. And you know, that's what this is all about. And that's what the preaching, that's why it says by the foolishness of preaching, souls are saved. Because those of us who have that responsibility, there always is a desire in our heart to be able to convey the message of Christ in such a way that would cause a hunger in your heart and in your mind, that would cause you to hunger and thirst after the word and the teaching of Jesus Christ, that would cause you to have a desire to apply those things to your life. And you know why I'm saying that? I want to turn over in Mosiah. And I want to go to the 12th chapter of Mosiah. And this is concerning the sons of Mosiah. And I'd like to read there in the 12th chapter on page 290. I'd like to read there where, in the 5th verse, he says, "Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature." They desired. That was the desire of their heart. You know, lately, as we sat here in those seats and the brothers got up and spoke to us, they spoke to us, Glenn of the Holy Ghost, our brother Bill of faith, Jay, last Sunday, preached my sermon. You know, each one of them have brought forth those things that is essential to our soul's welfare, to enlighten our heart and our mind, and to wake us up, our brother, as he teaches a Sunday school class. And my sweet cousin back there said, "My goodness, I've read that, and you know, I just really didn't even think about that." And so oftentimes we do that. So oftentimes we do that. But that spirit, it enters into our heart. And it moves us and gives us a desire to know. I know as I was studying with my brother Gary back there the other night, he said, "Oh boy, I wish Alicia was here to see that and to hear how important it is that that's a desire of our hearts." As they say here, let's read further here. He said, "And now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish." They couldn't hardly bear it to think that there would be someone that would be tormented day and night forever and ever. That there would be someone that didn't have the opportunity to gaze upon the face of God no longer. Never again. They couldn't hardly fathom that. Yea, even the very thought that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and to tremble. And you know how true that is. You know, the Lord says we're to love Him, as we heard, with all our might, mind, and strength. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that we were to do those things. Can you imagine that somebody sitting next to you that you love would be tormented day and night forever and ever? Or somebody that you run into at work or at school or at play or at the grocery store. Have you really ever met anyone that you wanted them to lose their soul? Have you ever done that? I hope not. I think not. Because this is what this is all about. We heard preached the other day about the period of time of probation, and we're living in that period of time of probation. We're living in the period of time that God has proven His love to the children of men. In everything, you just saw a part of that love as our sister came forth and was administered to. That she would receive a blessing of God. That He went all out to endeavor to save your soul, to save my soul. He even went so far out that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent His only begotten Son to be tempted, to send His only begotten Son to be whipped, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be beaten in the face, to have nails driven in Him, to be stripped in front of the multitude of people and hang there in His nakedness. That was the love that God has for us. For each one of you that's within the sound of my voice and those out across the world, they have that love. He had that love. He has tried to close every door. He has tried to seal every crack wherein that nothing could come in and destroy that love and destroy that protection that comes from God. You know, Andy, when he come up there at the ranch and we used to have the meetings up there called the Camp of All Ages. You know, he come up and they went through and they took and Louise saves the lids off of cans and everything. And we tried to seal up all the holes so the rats couldn't get in where we were going to cook. And you know, God has provided every implement that is essential to seal the holes in our life that would restrict Satan from coming in and taking over, if we will allow it. If we will allow it. If we will allow those blessings, if we will allow that gospel of Christ to come in our life, if we will allow and use the anchor that we just sang about, That we would use that anchor. That we wouldn't go against the rocks. That we would use that anchor. And you know, that anchor is an important thing, because a lot of times you can go a lot of places where you couldn't go without that anchor. Gone there. He and I have gone a lot of places when we were in the Coast Guard. We set a lot of boats on the beaches to help people when it was really rough. And you dropped a sea anchor and let yourself in just a little at a time so it wouldn't dash you to pieces, but you could let yourself in and you'd come in on a swell and all of a sudden, boy, you'd hit hard on the bottom, but it didn't tear you up. And you left that sea anchor there so when you went back out and went to take somebody out where you could take them to the hospital or something, that you could begin to take in that line and pull that boat back out against those swells and get out away from those things. That there is an anchor, and it's called Christ, that we can use to not only save ourselves from being dashed against the rock, but to save those about us. If we can live the life as an example, if we can set before the children of men that light that He tells us. God has never taken His children and set them in the dark. He has always provided a light for them where they could see. He has always provided a light so they could see. So they would not be lost or fallen away in the chasms and in the pitfalls that comes of the world. He has always provided that light. And of course we know that that light is Christ. And that's what He told him. He said that He was a light. That He was a light. Yet the world loved darkness rather than light. And so oftentimes the people of the world love darkness rather than light. But we have a hope that we don't. We have a hope that we view with eyes that has been sponsored and blessed with the seen power of Jesus Christ. to be able to see and to recognize the pitfalls, to recognize the different signs that tells us what we're to do and where we're to go and what we're to look out for, to recognize that He has put up a barrier between those who believe and endeavor to hold fast. He puts up a barrier that turns the fiery darts of the adversary. He tells us that you and I can walk in a manner, in such a way that Satan would flee before us. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that we can walk in a manner where Satan can have no power over us, because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we believe that if we go to Him, that we'll be able to walk in a way that would be pleasing before Him. You know, we have within us and within our heart and within our mind, we have a time. You know, we have an alarm clock. We have an alarm clock that goes off and says, whoa, 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 look out. It's time to wake up. You have no business doing that, or you should go over and do that. You know, we have an alarm clock with us, and that alarm clock comes from that gift of the Holy Ghost that you heard our brother preach about. That God showed His love when He told him, you know, my son's coming back and he's going to be with me, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, that will teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded, Jesus said. If that Spirit of truth could be alive within us to teach us, to edify us, if we will open up our heart and our mind, if we do like the Scripture tells us over there in the 12th chapter of Alma, that when Alma come back and he saw the sons of Mosiah, that they were still hold fast to the gospel of Christ, even after all the things that happened to them. Because they had fasted and prayed and sought. They had looked. They had looked for those things. They had sought, and they have fasted and prayed, and they were strong in the gospel of Christ. They were strong in those things that come forth through the gospel of Christ and by the Holy Ghost. And remember when Bill was preaching the other day on faith, remember it says there in the 6th verse in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, he says, without faith it's impossible to please God. That very Scripture sits in our lap this night, this day, the tomorrows, the future. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and that we had to know that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not somebody that just goes and say, you know, I'd sort of like to know you, Lord, but I got too many things to do to slow down for you to talk to me. He says that we have to be those that diligently seek Him. And here on page 362 there, when he's talking there, Alma come back after they'd been among the Lamanites and those things, and he found the sons of Mosiah, and he recognized, he said there in the 3rd verse, he says there, what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. They hadn't wavered. Yea, and they did wax strong in the knowledge of the truth. That's important. And they were men of sound understanding. And they did search the Scriptures diligently, that they might know the Word of God. Remember what it says over there? That diligently seek Him? Bill read that the other night. Remember, it says that diligently seek Him? That's our important thing in our life, is to diligently seek Him. It's important. That's the heritage of those who bear the witness of Jesus Christ. That's the heritage of those who carry the gospel to the world, that they seek Him diligently, that they understand and know the gospel of Christ, that they can convey it to others so they can see and believe. Oh, we know that we can't convert somebody. But we also know that God uses people to speak to other people in a way, and He touches their heart. And He carries that message. He carries that witness to their heart that they might believe and that they might come unto him. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. You know, you can talk to any of your servants. And that's the desire of our hearts. Is to preach and to teach with the authority and the power of God. That's the desires of our heart, that those things that we would teach would be true and be essential for the welfare of your soul. There's a lot of people that say that they bear the priesthood of the Lord, and they teach not the truth. They teach not the truth. They teach those things that are opposite of the Lord, not knowing him, not believing in the Holy Scriptures, not believing in those things that he caused to be written. And you know, I rejoice constantly that not only did he provide these things that are written, and when we study it, we find that Christ lived what he's asking you and he's asking me to do. He lived them himself as an example. He lived them to prove to you and me that it's not an impossible chore, that we could live those things, that we could walk so close to God that the cleansing blood of the Lamb would wash us clean. That we have that power to walk wherein the cleansing blood of the Lamb would wash us clean and make us pure as we stand before the judgment seat of God. And that's love. That's love that he has provided that way, that we could have that and to have those things. I'd like to go over to the 12th chapter of Matthew's. I'm going to read the 22nd through, probably the 33rd. Our brother read this the other day. And then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind, dumb, and he healed him, inasmuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction." And you know, that's the kingdom of God. That's any kingdom that you want to take. If it's divided against itself, it'll fall. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. I want you to think about that. Every city or house, that's your house, mine, that's divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? And how does someone come in to destroy our house as strong man or strong woman in Christ, except first they bind your mind, your heart, the desires that you have, wherein that they can control you and take over your life. Satan first has to bind out of you those who have received that of the Holy Ghost, and those individuals, he has to take that from you so you'll be willing to follow. He has to bind the thoughts of Jesus Christ out of your heart. He has to bind the many witnesses that you have experienced by his Holy Spirit, that he might control and take from you that which you had and rob you of your soul. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. I want you to listen to that. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. And you scattereth abroad. I want you to think about that. Are we scattering things abroad, people abroad? Is it because of our actions or what we say or what we do? Do we scatter abroad? Or are we someone that endeavors to help the seed to grow on good ground, that it will bear fruit? Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto man. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I wonder why. You heard our brother read that the other night. Did you ever stop to think that you receive the Holy Ghost after you come to the knowledge of Christ and God the Father and the gospel of Christ and repent and receive that as a gift? You receive that Holy Ghost as a gift from the Father. After you have come to the knowledge of the gospel of Christ, you have. Not before. Oh, the Holy Ghost comes and he touches the hearts of the children of men and draws them to Christ and draws them to the desire to be obedient and to know him. But it still isn't given to them as a gift until they have taken the action of taking themselves and putting on Christ. That they put on Christ. As Christ was speaking there, there was a multitude of people that didn't know Christ and didn't believe him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe God. There's a multitude of people today that believes in Buddha, that believes in Muhammad, that believes in all kinds of things, that does not believe in Christ. But when one comes to Christ and they repent, and they go into the waters and they put on Christ and they become a new creature, a new individual. They did that knowing Christ, the Son of the living God, and knowing God the Father. Knowing the gospel of Christ. And so when the time comes in that you deny the Holy Ghost, you not only deny the Holy Ghost, you deny the Christ, you deny the Father, you deny the gospel of Christ, you deny the whole gamut. You deny the whole gamut, the whole thing, not just part of it, but all of it. Listen to what we say over here in 445, 19th chapter of Alma, 8th verse. And behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost when it once has had place in you. You know, I'm not going to take the time to go to it, but the Scriptures tell you that the Holy Ghost beareth witness of the Father and of the Son. That's his work. That's his work. In fact, if you go over here in the 15th chapter of St. John, when it tells you about the Holy Ghost is going to be here, in the 14th chapter, he says he's going to leave that Comforter, which is the Spirit of Truth, and he says the world can't receive it. I want you to think on that for a minute, because the world had not come to the knowledge of God and to Jesus Christ, and they had not taken upon them the name of Christ. They had not entered into the waters. They had not done the thing that's prescribed by God the Father to receive the gift from Him. They had not done it. And they don't have it. And that's why Christ there in the 14th chapter of St. John just tells you openly. He says, and the world didn't receive it. But that gift that is received from God, it comes. And he tells us here, he says, once it hath place in you, and you know that you have received that Holy Ghost. You know by experience in your life. You know by the direction of that Spirit. You know that ye deny it. You can't know that you deny it if you don't know and if you haven't received it. And know that you deny it. Behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. When we come to that knowledge and understanding of the gospel of Christ and had entered into the waters of baptism, and like the Apostle Paul says over there in Galatians, and you put on Christ, then you're capable of denying the Holy Ghost. Then you're capable of denying the Holy Ghost, and in doing so, you're denying Christ and God the Father and the whole gospel of Christ as salvation to your soul. You're denying the whole thing, but yet there's a lot of people in this world today that will deny God and will deny Jesus Christ, but we know that the Lord tells us that every one of the whole human family of Adam is going to have an opportunity to know the Lord. Everyone of the whole family of Adam is going to have an opportunity to know the Lord. But those who have known the Lord, like Peter said, and have pulled themselves out of the world by the power of Christ and by those things, and have turned again away from that gospel of Christ, and have gone their own way, he says it's like a dog going back to its vomit, or a pig going back in its wallow after it had been cleaned. That they had known those things. And they knew then that at the time that they were violating the law, that they were openly and directly rebelling against God. That's called open rebellion against the commandments of God. It's an open rebellion against those things. And I'm grateful of the love of God that He has given us the word repentance, where we can be sorry and be forgiven. Because if we couldn't be forgiven, we'd all be in trouble if there's no forgiveness. But I want you to know that He says that this is the only sin, denying the Holy Ghost and God the Father and Jesus Christ, denying all those things, that's the only sin that's not forgivable. It's important that we realize that. It's important that the love of God overrides the wisdom and the power of men. Those things are important. And so as we come and we look at these things, how important it is that we realize that in the gospel of Christ, the Lord has provided a way for us to know Him. He has preserved the Word. He has preserved the Word for us and preserved it inasmuch that we would be able, to follow after our Lord and enter in the kingdom of heaven. That He could say, enter ye in, my faithful servant. If we didn't have the gospel, if we didn't have the Word, if we didn't have anything to go by, how would you know how to follow? If we didn't have anything that teaches us of the life of Christ and His teachings. And what did He tell us? He says, these words which I teach are not of me. He says, but of the Father which sent me. You know that what tells us? It tells us that when we're obedient to those things, we're being obedient to the Father in heaven. The very Father that even created Jesus Christ in His own image. That's what it tells us. It tells us that we're being obedient to Him. It tells us that we think enough of ourselves and those about us that we would walk in a proper way that we might save our soul. Have you ever thought about the gospel of Christ? Have you ever thought about your God? Did you ever think that He desires that anybody should be lost? Boy, I can't hardly feel that He would want anybody lost. If so, why did He send His Son? Why did He teach us the gospel of Christ? Why did He tell us that there's a gospel and that there's a way, that there's a faith, that there's a thing that's required of us? Why did He tell us those things? Why did He have them written? Why did He cause holy men of old to pen those things? Why did He cause holy men of old to prophesy so that you and I could see the fulfillment of those prophecies? And you know, you and I are living in the day when we can go to the Scriptures and see where many of those Scriptures that has been prophesied, been prophesied and been brought forth from the time of Moses, even clear down to Isaiah. Yeah, in Isaiah, in 865, down in that area, prior to the fall of the northern kingdoms of Jerusalem and of Israel, okay, prior to that time, so that you and I could see that way back then, thousands of years, God prophesied what was going to happen in the rise and falls of nations and peoples, and what was going to happen to those who would hold fast to God and those who would reject Him and fall away. And it's important that we realize that He has so brought these things to our attention, and He has so endeavored to edify us. He said, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be mad at one another." Dissension, problems, that's not sponsored by God. It's sponsored by Satan. And if you're trying to visit with somebody about something and you're angry, you've already lost them. If you show anger, you've already lost. Because as soon as you show anger, they shut you out. Just as soon as you show anger, they shut you off. That if you want to do something, then you reason one with another with love, with compassion, with tenderness, with gentleness, with the attributes of Christ, that something can be accomplished. That something can be accomplished. What would I accomplish if I run over here and I grab Bill and I throw him off the podium on the floor and tell him, "Now I want you to listen." And so, you know, he's got me shut out. He'd probably get up and clean my clock. Okay? What have I gained? If I want to help this brother, it would have to be in love. It can't be with sarcasm. It can't be in anger. It can't be in rudeness. It has to be in gentleness, tenderness. It has to be in love. It has to be in that charity that God says you and I should pray for in these last days. That's what it has to be in. It has to be in that. And it's important that we realize that. And so as we come, I want to read a few scriptures. Well, my time is getting away from me, and you guys are doing it. I want to go to the sixth chapter. I want to go to the sixth chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read the 33rd verse. And he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, we know that he's saying, don't worry about it. If you're going out and you're working for me, don't worry about doing that and worried about getting something to eat or worried about what's going to happen here. He says, you know, I feed the birds and they don't toil. I do this, I do that. He says, look at the beauty of a flower. Man, you know, they can have all kinds of stuff. Solomon's got all kinds of stuff, but it's not as beautiful as a flower. And you know, I was in a hurry this morning. I didn't bring them over, but I thought about bringing over two flowers. I thought about bringing over a rose, and I thought about bringing over a rose. Over at my house, we got a rose in the front of the house, and then over next to the chicken fence, over behind the orange trees, there's another rose. The one in front of the house looks pretty, but it has no smell. It's a hybrid. The one over the chicken pen, it looks pretty, and its scent is just beautiful. And you know something? That's what you and I need to be. Not something that's hybrid by a man, but that which gives us a light by Jesus Christ. That the fragrance of our life would touch others and draw them to God and draw them to Christ. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. And you know, you and I can say, oh boy, I'm pretty. You know, and I, you know, I this and I that and everything. But if you don't live it, you don't smell it. You know, we can say whatever you want, but people know how you live your life, or they think they know how you live their life. It's important that we live the life that would lead and direct the souls of the children of men to Jesus Christ and lead them towards that way. The 7th chapter of Matthew's, 13th and the 14th verse, is one that's common to us. He says, enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'd like to ask you, would you like to be part of the few? I know I would. I know I would. And you know, I think in my testimonies in times past, I've said to you a lot of times, you know, I want to go live with my Father in heaven and my Lord. And you know, when I get there, I want to see you. I want you to be there too. I want to see you. I want to be able to say, that was my brother and sister down there. I want to see you there. It's important. It's important. It's important that we do that. You know, the gospel of Christ is a road, and the only road with which we travel to perfection. You can't do it in Hubert's gospel. You can't do it in Don's gospel. You can't do it in any other guy's gospel. That gospel that we travel to the road of perfection was developed and built and directed by Christ, by the will of his Father. And that's the only way it can be obtained. We can say and do as we want. We can look out and say, well, those guys are all right. No, they live a different life, and they're wild, and they're this, and they're that. But I'm here to state to you that the Scriptures tells us that there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism, and that's true. He has never lied to us. You can do like we heard here, I forget who it was that was preaching, that says you can take it to the bank and it'll draw interest in your soul. That you can depend on what the Lord has to say, because what the Lord is having to say to direct us, that came from His Father which is in heaven, who sent Him. That we might know the way. That we wouldn't have to stumble around and say, oh gosh, what's this? Or how do I get over there? Well, the batteries are low in my flashlight and I can't see. The batteries never get low in the flashlight of Jesus Christ. That light is always there to bear the vision of those who will believe and follow after Him. That light is always there that you can see. And when you do that, like it tells you over in Revelation, that the scale shall fall from your eyes. When your eyes are single to the glory of God, you can see. They will be anointed with the eye salve of Jesus Christ, wherein that we will have the vision to know and be able to walk justly before Him and please Him. Boy, did you ever stop to think how beautiful it would be to know that you please God and He had a big smile on His face and He'd say, boy, that's my son or that's my daughter. Wouldn't that be neat? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about how neat it would be to have Him just, boy, say, that's really my child. And that you would cause a great joy in his heart because of the life that we choose to live, the life that we choose to follow was Jesus Christ, that we would follow after Him. I want to turn over to Mark real quick. The first chapter of Mark. And there in the first chapter of Mark, I'm going to read the 14th and the 15th verse. And after that, John was put into prison. Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And I say to you today, the time has been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe. Repent. And believe the gospel. That kingdom of God is at hand, and it will be. It won't be taken away from the earth again. Remember that when not too long ago when Brian was preaching, and he was preaching about the restored gospel to renew again our heart and our thoughts, that it was restored by the hand of God. And that it would not be taken away again. It will not, it says there, it will not be left to another people. But it's going to stand forever. So that means that somebody somewhere is going to keep the gospel of Christ. They're going to apply it and they're going to hold to it. And they're going to hold fast to it. Because there are not going to be another 1260 years wherein that it was in darkness, where they had killed out the priesthood and where they'd done all these things. That's not going to happen again. This is going to be here, and God is going to send His Son to His bride, and she's going to be adorned in righteousness and of great power. That's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, is not a spirit of fear. You're not trembling. He says it's a spirit of power. And He says it's a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind. That's the gospel of Christ. And you and I have a right to possess all three. We have a right to possess that spirit of love. We have a right to experience that of power, and certainly of a sound mind, that every little old thing that comes along doesn't direct us somewhere else and we start wandering all over the place. But that we know who we are, we know who we belong to, we know who we worship, we know who we need to call upon, we know who we need to walk after, and that's the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And the things of the world and all the lust and the things that they put before us and all those things, that they'll have no effect on us. Because we know that they're short-lived. We know that there's going to be short-lived. We know that we're not getting out of this life and we're not getting out of it alive, that we're going to go home. We know that. That the things of this world is short-lived. The important thing is that we want to live the life that we have all eternity and all eternity with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. That's who we want to go with. That's what we want to do. The gospel of Christ. Well, let's go to John 7:16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me, that Christ was bringing to you and I the very doctrine, the gospel, that God the Father told his Son that he's to teach you so you can have eternal life, so you can come and live with him. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That it's important that we do his will. It's important that we do those things. It's the only remedy. Listen. It's the only remedy for the disease of sin. It's the only remedy of the disease of sin. And it is given to us by God. There isn't another. Oh, we can try all kinds of stuff. How many times have you gone to the doctor and they give you some pills and you go back and say, well, it hadn't helped me a bit. Well, we'll try something else. We'll do this. We'll do that. You can't get another pill. You can't get another inoculation. You can't get anything else that has to do with eternal life and destroy sin in the heart and the mind of the children of men, that their soul shall be free than Jesus Christ. That's the only one. That's the only medicine that God the Father sent was Christ. That's how come over there in St. John, you get over there in the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter, and it tells you, that the Holy Ghost was going to come and he was going to do these things and one thing and another. And he says, the Holy Ghost don't speak of himself. He says, he speaks whatsoever I command him. That's what he's saying. In other words, the Holy Ghost reveals to you and speaks to you and say, don't do that, do this, look out for this, and one thing and another, because that's what Jesus told him. That's what Jesus told him. He speaks. He speaks whatever I command him. How important it is that we understand that. How important it is that we realize that God loved us so much. He loved us so much that he shut every possible way of Satan getting to us if we will use his armor. If we think we can develop our own armor against Satan, we better just start whistling again, because you're whistling in the dark. The only armor that we can develop against Satan is Jesus Christ our Lord. And those things of faith, those things that he tells us it's essential that we develop to be able to overcome Satan and walk in a way that would be pleasing and just before him. Since it is given to us by God, we should have all the faith in the world in it. You know, he's given us the way. It's come by God. It didn't come by Satan. It didn't come by the will of a man. Isn't that what Peter said? Even the prophecy. He said prophecy didn't come by the will of man. It came when holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't think so? Which one of you here can stand up and prophesy what's going to happen 100 years from now? Or prophesy what's going to happen tomorrow? Unless the Spirit of God reveals it. You can't prophesy anything, because you can prophesy a lot of things. You might not even make it through the day. Maybe you'll be killed going home. You know, it's important that we realize that we are nothing and we are dependent upon the Lord. And without him, we can do nothing. Without him, there is no hope within us. He is our hope. He is our direction. He is our power to overcome. And without that, we can do nothing of ourselves. Only thing we do is fall. We get our foot in a trap. We get our foot caught up into the world. We get our foot caught up in our desires. We get our foot caught up in our lust. We get our foot caught up in things that will destroy us because of the lack of Christ being active in our life. He's got to be active in our life. He's got to be active in our life. We're living in the period of time where he tells us that the gospel, I'm not going to read it, but it's over there in the 24th chapter of Matthew's, when he tells you that this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the nations, and then the end shall come. We're living in that time. We're living in that period of time. And I have to ask myself, and I have to ask you, what preparation have you made for it? What preparation are you making for it? How diligently are we seeking Him? How diligently are we preparing ourselves for the service of the Lord? How diligently are we looking to Him that we might fulfill His wishes and will in our life? How do we do that? How do we do that? By just going our own way. We can't do it. It's impossible. We depend upon Him to direct us. And if He isn't directing us, we automatically are in trouble. We're automatically in trouble. We are to live the gospel here. If not, why did Jesus preach it here? If it wasn't important for us on this old world, why did the Lord preach it here? Why did He tell us this is the way? Why did He say, I am the way and the life? I am the light. He says the world loved darkness rather than light. Where are we? Where are we? Are we walking in real dark shadows, or are we walking in the light? Have we chosen to follow the Savior? Is that the walk that we're making? Is that the talk that we're talking? Is that what we're taking to the bank? Is the obedience to the gospel of Christ? Or is it just occasionally, if it doesn't, override what we want to do? That's the problem that we have. That's the problem the world has. Because they may know the gospel of Christ, but that's no sign they live it. The important thing is to live it, not only know it. That's the important thing, is to live that gospel. You know, I'm not going to turn to it, but over in 1 Corinthians, and the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 14th verse, it says, those who preach the gospel must live the gospel. How important that is. That if we're going to teach the gospel, if we're going to preach the gospel, then we have to live it. They have to see that example. If I preach the gospel and I come and I flare all up and I get mad at my brother Glenn and I make a scene, or I flare all up and I hurt his feelings and say bad things, or I talk behind his back, what good is it? What good is it? The Lord says that they'll know us by our fruit. Is our fruit love? Is our fruit the gospel of Christ? Is our fruit that tenderness? Is that fruit forgiveness? Is that fruit the things that's essential to make us love the Lord thy God with all our might, mind, and soul? Is our fruit that way? Does our light, is it bright to where it stands on the hill where everybody can see? And it glorifies our Father which is in heaven? Or has it been dimmed? Has it been dimmed by our reaction? Has it been dimmed by the things that we've done? Has it been dimmed by the things that we say? Has it been dimmed by our anger? You know, it's important that we realize, even especially as the body of Christ, as a wife of Christ, it's important that we realize that it tells us there in the Scriptures when the Lord's coming back to His wife that garment is white and pure. And it says, because it's the righteousness of the saints. You and I have a job to do. We have a job to apply the attributes of Christ to our life. We have a job to challenge those things that aren't right. But you know, the scriptures tells us there's a way to challenge them. If we want to bring them back. The scriptures tells us that there's a way to do things if we want to strengthen somebody and help them and let them know that this body loves them or that you love them. It's important. Very important. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Christ. I know that the world teaches. I'm going past my time and I'm going to have to quit. I hadn't even got started. There's so many things that I wanted to tell you today that come to me as I was praying and studying that I wanted to bring out. Because I know I'm not one of the sons of Mosiah, but I wouldn't want any of you lost. I wouldn't want any of you to be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is no end to that. And so, I'm going to tell you this. The Apostle Paul tells us, I'm going to turn over to it, in the first chapter of Galatians. I know there's a lot of churches in this old world. I know Ephesians tells us in no uncertain term that there's only one Lord and one faith. What does that mean? Anybody, what's that mean? One Lord, one faith, what does that mean? Does that mean there's all kinds of faiths everywhere that belong to Him? That's not what that means at all, is it? He says there's one Lord and one faith. One Lord and one faith. And one baptism, if it's proper. Galatians, the Apostle Paul speaking to them in the first chapter and down in the sixth verse, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel. He says, I'm surprised that you left Christ and turned away from the gospel of Christ so soon. He says, which is not another. There isn't another, Melissa. There isn't another. There isn't another, brothers and sisters. There's only one. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And you know, all around us every day, there's those who would trouble us and pervert the gospel of Christ, and does. Over TV and books that are written and all these things. Like our brother Glenn said today, you know, that these books are written. You know, I found out that there's a lot of wisdom that I sure don't know that's in some of the writings of books of men and women, you know. But I'm going to tell you what. They certainly don't know the gospel of Christ. And when you're studying them, you best be very careful. If you really want to know the gospel of Christ, you better study the books that God preserved for us to study. I know they can give us a lot of history. I know they can give us an insight on everything. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a revelation that was given early to the church. And he says that he sends forth his elders. He says not to be taught, but to teach. And that's important. That's what we're here for. That's what you're here for, is to teach by a witness and by the way you order your life. That's our heritage. The heritage of the body of Christ is to teach the gospel of Christ and to live it so the world can see it. That's a heritage that we have, a God-given heritage. It's just as important and just as valid as the gospel of Christ that was given to Christ. He says, these things I teach you, not of me, but the Father which sent me. That's a heritage that God had given to His children that He calls sons and daughters. That's a heritage that He's given you and I. that we would follow after him, that we would not be somebody that's just tossed to and fro and everything for every wind and doctrine, like he says in Ephesians, and tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine and everything, by the slights of men. This world is full of it. It's full of it, and it has a degree behind their name this long. But the Apostle Paul said that the things that he taught here, he tells here in this chapter, he says, I didn't receive it of a man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. That Holy Ghost, that Spirit, that Christ taught him that he might understand. That would bring that understanding to him. And how important that is. If you don't think so, try studying without that Spirit with you sometime and see how much you learn. Just try it. When you study and you study and you study with a study group, what do you do? What do we do here? We start off with a prayer asking God to send His Spirit to be here, to direct us, to bless us, to change our heart and our mind if we've established something in it that's opposite. And bring us to that understanding, just like Meredith said today. Gosh, I've learned a lot about it. I didn't know they passed in the middle of the night. Next time you ask her, she's going to tell you. That you start it with prayer. You start it by seeking the Lord and inviting His Spirit to come and to dwell with us. That's how that's done. To direct us. I don't care whether it's a preaching service, a prayer service, a Sunday school class, a business meeting. Doesn't make any difference what it is. We're all hanging out in the wind if the Spirit of the Lord isn't there. If this is His bride, if this is His house, that Spirit better be there. If it isn't, it's our fault. And so we need that direction. We need that gospel. We need that Spirit. We need that Holy Ghost. We need those things to teach us and to direct us that our footsteps would be according to the way of the Lord. That's what we need. And so, I have a lot more to tell you, but I don't have time to do it. I'm going to close. But I'm going to tell you just this much. Just like the sons of Mosiah, the Lord and God the Father trembles to think that he has to send someone away to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that should be part of your makeup and mine. We should tremble at the thought that we would do something or act or say something that would lead somebody astray and cause them to lose their soul. How important that is. Because that's the most precious thing you and I have is our soul and our Lord. And so it's important that we pray for one another and know that God has set a standard before us. He has set a gospel, a doctrine that is required if you and I want to go live with Him. And there are going to be no shyster lawyers to get you over something and have you give a plea bargain and give all. When you stand before the judgment bar of God, it's going to be open, and He says, even the things that you didn't even think about, even the secret things when you was behind a chicken house in a barn, are going to be opened up and be seen. So it's important for us to live. It's important for us to think, to meditate. Like the Lord says, you pray morning, midday, and evening, and through the day your heart is drawn out unto Him. That's what it takes to overcome Satan and to close the doors against his power. God bless us is my prayer.